Since I was 7 years old, my dreams was to spit verses. I'm from where the Bloods and Crips lurking, where child support taking daddy ho check shit, so he quit working. Carrying burners and big burdens, trying hard not to get discouraged. Tired of broken promises, tired of lip service. All them snakes in your circle doing a disservice. Can't get nervous, hit the plug for a quick purchase. I grab an eighth and I shake. Granny serving turkey sandwiches off paper plates. With the barbecue lays, I kill to bring back them days. You cool and comfortable being broke, I ain't on that page. Fans telling me I'm the GOAT when I'm on that stage, my nigga. And I did it all screaming I.E. Really been in rooms with no ID and Jimmy IV. I really seen niggas throw all they self-esteem in a necklace. I'm number one, you second pick, pull my soul out so effortless.
Going further, going further.
Even when they said I couldn't, you could set them up, I'ma knock them down. Even when they said I wouldn't, if I had all the money in the world, I'd probably burn it all in your face, let the whole world see. The money look good in the hood, but it's all a facade, never happy, set the whole world free. I used to always get discouraged, smoke getaways, liquid courage. The body and the mind malnourished, the movement saved me, G.O.D. made me. Weed and TV every week made me crazy. Started blowing up on the internet, then they disrespect like the little brother ain't get big. Mad that they real daddy never did shit. Wishing that would make a real nigga quit, but I'm only going
further. Going further.
Stars, cars and girls, Earth to Mars, it's yours, it's yours, yeah. See the world, all the stars, all the love from here to Mars, it's yours, it's yours.
Bro, there's no signs of life here.
Good to know, just how we like it. Radio in, let them know if they're coming, they better come correct. Come correct.
Staring like you don't know what it's for. Get your shit together, get your jaw up off the floor. How come
Rake always kind of downplaying how resilient and persistent and how easy it is for us to get back into the school year, getting back into essays and assignments and whatnot. And I always dislike that because they assume that we need a break. Of course, we all need a break. We all need to take some time off every now and then and just kind of, you know, that word self-care for ourselves. But then again, I feel like we can work harder. I feel like this isn't so difficult. This, the way my mentality and how I think is that, okay, this is the deadline. This is when school's going to start again, or this is when the assignment's due or the project's due. Okay, so I'm going to make sure that it's due on time. I'm going to make sure I'm prepared for it, even if that's usually a time where I would have a break or I had some leeway to maybe focus on myself. You know, you have to work hard to get back to it. So I always I always hated that assumption. And when it comes to university, you know, there's always kind of that mentality that you have to work harder than you have before, especially when you're coming in from high school to university. I've just always disliked it because it seems like we don't have any ambitions. Like, we all kind of just want to, the way they say it just kind of implies that we don't have ambitions. We're not going towards anything. We're kind of lazy and just, I hate that assumption about myself. And I know what they're trying to do is kind of relate, you know, relate to the room, find a way to find something that connects us all. And I don't think that's it. I don't think that's a good thing to put in our heads, that it's okay that, okay, I'm a little lazy, I'm just kind of coming back into it. I've just always hated that. I always hated that narrative, that discourse. I've always disliked it. It's my kind of thing is, it is what it is. It is what it is. So I'm just going to do what it is. I'm going to adapt to it. I'm going to come in and fit in with it. That's just how I've always thought of it. So I've always disliked that, and I hate it when professors or really anybody does that, because it's just an annoyance to me, really. Okay, moving off from my 2 cents, my soapbox, my opinion. Well, the whole show is my opinion. Everything is based on a person's experience, and that's how they form knowledge off their experience. So that's what the show, that's what ever you can say about, you could say that about any show, especially this show. So I want to talk about records, mainly world records, like Guinness World Records, Olympic records. Records, whenever you hear about them, they're always measuring the fastest, the biggest, the highest, the greatest, the longest. And mostly, if you think of it on like a spectrum, like the right side of the spectrum being like fast and long and kind of going for length, but also going for speed. Whereas the other side of the spectrum is short. It's small. It's the slowest, the tiniest, the lowest. And though that's usually associated with the worst, and that's probably why you don't usually see records that are like, they made the tiniest tape ever. Though, and especially now, because when you look at phones, they just look at the iPhone, look at Android phones either, or they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, the best and brightest, the biggest and brightest. That's what everybody's kind of going for. And I understand that compacting all that technology is hard, but they're just getting so much bigger. That seems like the goal, bigger, better, you know, go big or go home, that kind of mentality. I personally, I have sought out small phones that can actually fit into my hand nice and smoothly, and so I don't have to strain my fingers to hold on to it. I've gone the extra miles to do that because I don't like big phones personally. So why don't we hear about these, you know, the tiniest, the smallest? Those seem just as interesting, if not better, than, you know, going biggest, highest, you know, who can run the fastest in a certain amount of meters. Well, who can go the slowest? I mean, that sounds, I feel like that's going to be pretty difficult too, especially if you're going against others. Like, even though you're going, you might think that's easy, just don't move at all. But that, no, the rule has to be that you have to move to some degree. So who can move the slowest? Who has the most patience to get there? And maybe if this was going to be like a record, maybe it should be, you know, maybe you should be blindfolded. You shouldn't be able to see the other contestants. Because that way, you know, you'll cater yourself to them. You'll change your speed according to their speed. It should be the blindfolded, slow walking race. There's probably a better way to phrase that. But that would be, that would be interesting to watch to some extent. Maybe watching it in like if you, you know, it's in slow motion, but then you pace it up, or what's the word I'm looking for? You you know how sometimes you take a normal video, a normal video, and then you you slow motion it. Well, with this slow motion race, you would fast pace it, and I wonder how it would look. It might look weird, like if you what you might end up doing with that video. See, is this person really running? I think that's what it would come up to. But even right now, myself, I am still downplaying records that are the slowest, the smallest, the tiniest, by changing it to the fast pace. I'm doing it myself in my own head and with this show, because we're conditioned that way. You know, I'm a sociology student, so, you know, we're socially constructed to think go big or go home and those kinds of things. We're more interested in those that go big than those who, you know, just go home. What's wrong with going home? I don't see anything wrong with going home. Unless you're playing, you know, baseball, and instead of going home, you actually go home. That's, and I've stolen that for sure. I've heard that in some movie here or there, especially if there's like kids playing, where, you know, people be yelling, "Go home! Go home!" And the kid actually runs home, because they don't know that this first base, second base, third base, and then this home base, they don't know that it's called home base. So you think they would tell them that it's called home base? I've never really got that. So I'm sure there are some records that are like the tiniest, whistle maybe, or the tiniest snail that's ever been, the tiniest bug there is, and things like that. But it's usually the biggest, it's usually the longest. Like, what is the longest snake? I think it's the, is it the cobra, the anaconda? It's usually, what is the longest snake? What is the tallest giraffe? What is the biggest or heaviest elephant? It's usually just on the upper end of the spectrum, the higher end of the spectrum. I'm interested, since we've always just heard about the biggest and heaviest and the highest and longest and, you know, all these like high numbers. I want to hear about the low numbers. Who's down there at the bottom? What would be interesting? And you also always want to hear, like, who got the highest score on the test? Who scored the highest? Who's in the 95th percentile? Who's really up there? I want to know, what are some of the lowest scores that people have got? Like when you want to be a nurse, my brother is currently becoming a nurse. He has to take like this test once he's done all his studies. And then if he passes it, he becomes like a fully registered or fully licensed nurse. And I want to know, who has failed the worst at that test? What is the lowest score that someone has ever gotten? I wonder how low it really is. I don't imagine it's ever been a zero, or even for maybe, you know, there's that test you have to take when you want to become a lawyer. I think it's called an MCAT, though don't quote me on that. Google is a much better source for that. I want to know who scored the lowest. That would be interesting to know. What has been the lowest score ever? Would it be a zero? Or is it still pretty high? Is it still like, you know, it's below the average, of course. But how below, using like statistical terms, what is its standard deviation from the mean? What is its, not kurtosis, its skewness? Or how skewed is it from the mean? Though I think I'm using these terms incorrectly to a degree. There's also something called the Fraser Institute that ranks different schools here in BC, like elementary schools, high schools, I believe, by like which schools better. I think part of it is based on grades. I remember even when I was in high school, our school was kind of a big deal for us. We were kind of proud for a moment because when our test came back for, I think it was a provincial exam, we did like pretty well. They told us like our percentile. We were like, our percentile tells you, like, if you scored in the 80th percentile, then that means you did better than 80% of the people who competed or took this test or were part of, like, the sample or the population that they were looking at. And we turned out to do really well. But I'm wondering, who scored really... This is when it comes in. This is when you want to know the lowest. You want to know, where are the lowest crime rates? Where are the worst schools or the lowest ranked school? This is when you want to know those lower end numbers. That's when you want to know those records. That's when it comes in handy. It's usually when you're, when you're looking for a house or a neighborhood or a city or a country that you're trying to, where you're deciding, oh, should I live here? You're looking at, you know, well, if you're really planning it out, not just by like, oh, there are jobs available there. Then you might look at, you know, criminality. What are the crime rates? How much maternity leave is in this country? You might look at how much inequality is in this country. What's the weather like? The seasons like? You know, there's all these different factors you will look at. And you would finally look at some of these low scores, the tiniest, the smallest. Don't you want to know what's at the lower end of the spectrum? We've done so well archiving the upper ends of the spectrum, the longest, the highest, the tallest, the fastest, the most. We've done so well documenting all that, recording all that. Maybe it's an issue of representation. Which is represented more, the upper end of the spectrum or the lower end of the spectrum? It seems like it's the upper end of the spectrum. Because let's look at sports. Sports always, like, who made the most shots? Who made the most baskets? Let me think of my sports. Who made the most passes, the most assists? Most amount of time on the ice. You know, you're looking at the above average numbers. Who's below the average? Who's not doing well in the league? Usually paying attention to, like, the big stars, like, you know, basketball, like, you know, who's, like, the prominent players who are getting, like, the really high numbers, who has, like, the most shots ever shot during NBA games. Always focused on those. What about who's scored the lowest? Who got into the NBA and yet did so poorly when it came to games? Like, that's something I would be interested in. But we're conditioned. Pavlov comes into mind, and dogs come to mind. If you know anything about psychology, you probably know what I'm referencing here. There are social constructs within our society, things that have been constructed because of those who live in society, those who control it, those who have power over it, those who can influence it. And part of that has been that we always look at the top, we always look at the best, we always look at the upper end of the spectrum, and less so on the lower end of the spectrum. Like, we pay more attention to celebrities, upper end of the spectrum, less to inequalities, the lower end of the spectrum. Can really see how maybe that conditioning, the highest, the greatest, the best, has caused us to seek it in other areas in terms of celebrities and social media and media and world issues, like focusing more on who won the Oscars, who has the most Oscars, who has the most amount of these awards or this award, or who has the most downloads or views, and all these numbers. And I bet people probably know those numbers better than how many people are living in poverty, how many people experience racism, how many people are discriminated against because of their age, their class, their gender, their race, their ethnicity, their background, where they were born, their sexual orientation in Canada, if, and also I believe in Australia, if you're, and also the United States, if you're Indigenous or Aboriginal, or in the States, I think their term is usually Native or non-Native, I guess. We have those, we have this spectrum in society, and part of it could be, it could be correlated to how we like to know the biggest, the highest, the tallest, the best, and less so the tiniest, the worst, the bottom rung, and all of that. It's quite a big correlation to make. It's definitely not scientifically sound. Most definitely. If I was to propose this to one of my professors, classes, or if I was doing, say, like, a master's or something, I'm sure it would be shot down. It's not a good correlation at all. But hey, maybe it is. You never know. You never know. Mystery is a mystery. So now I'd like to talk about Fun Drive. If you've listened to CITR before, or if you've read Discord Magazine, or if you've been engaged in the CITR and Discorder community, then you probably know that every year we hold a Fun Drive, which is a fundraiser. Each year we have a different theme. This year's theme is the Ruby Jubilee Making Milestones. It starts on February 28th, the last day of February, and it ends March 8th. You can donate now by going onto CITR.ca, and if you click the little three lines on the right, I believe, it'll bring out a little column from the side, and you'll find that there's a section called Donate. Just click on it. You can donate online. Or you can wait until February 28th and donate by calling 604-822-8648. That's when the lines will start running up. And I'll say a little bit more about Fun Drive after we come back from this first song from, again, I apologize for my pronunciation, from Amatra versus Submerged. This is from their album Lost Direction, the second song, which is called Because We Don't Need to Breathe Anymore.
Thank you. To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a clothes.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Hi, you're listening to CHR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, broadcasting from the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. And as I said, this is CITR, where also Discorder Magazine is produced and created. And we're having a fun drive this year, or a fundraiser, by the name Ruby Jubilee Making Milestones. I just wanted to tell you all more about it. It starts February 28th and it ends on March 8th. You can donate online at CITR.ca now. Or you can call in during that time to 604-822-8648. I would recommend calling in because in order to get show-specific prizes, you have to call in and say, I would like to donate to this show. And then you get their show-specific prizes. Like, I have my own show-specific prizes. Every show has their own specific prizes. And then you also get just CHR's prizes. I'm just going to list them out for all of you. If you donate $30, this is online or by phone, you'll get a CHR and Escorter Fun Drive patch. If you donate $60, then you get that patch and also an exclusive tote bag. If you donate 101.9, like the station, then you'll get the Fun Drive patch, the tote bag, and CITR socks. Cozy socks. And as you keep donating higher, you still get all the other things. It's all cumulative. If you donate $175, then you get the patch, the bag, the socks, and a limited edition fishbowl tape. If you donate $250, you get a framed cover of Discordant magazine, I believe of your choice. And then also all the other things. You get the patch, the tote bag, the socks, the fishbowl tape. If you donate $500, you get to host a show here at CATR 101.9 FM, like I am now. You get to host your own show. And then again, you get all those other previous items. And then if you donate $1,000, you get a Pop Alliance compilation, a box set, and you get recognition on our donor wall. We have a donor wall with cassette tapes, and on the cassette tape, we put your name on it and add it to the wall. So all the names are on cassette tapes. It's pretty cool looking. So again, if you donate $1,000, this is everything. You'll get a patch. You'll get a tote bags, you'll get cozy socks, you'll get a limited edition fishbowl tape, you'll get a framed cover of Discorder magazine, you'll get to host a show here at CHR, you'll get a Pop Alliance compilation box set, and you'll get recognition on our donor wall. Of course, you can donate more than $1,000, but that is up to you if you would like to go up above that. And now, let me tell you about my show's specific show prizes. I have 4 prizes in store for all of my listeners, so you don't have to listen periodically to my show or even be a fan of my show to donate to my show. Anybody can donate. So if you donate $20 to my show, then you'll get a custom playlist of instrumental tunes that I've created on a USB. If you donate $35, then you'll get a printed illustration. For my show, I have a specific illustration that goes with it for Convictions and Contradictions. You'll get a printed version of it, 8 by 10 inches. If you donate $45, then you'll get a t-shirt with that same image on it. And then if you donate $100, then you get to be a guest on my show. You can either sit in on the show or you can be a guest. I'll interview you. You can interview me. We'll have a conversation on the show. And remember, if you want to donate to my show, you have to call in between February 28th and March 8th. You can call during my show, Thursdays from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Or you can call in at any time and just make sure that you say, I would like to donate to Convictions and Contradictions by calling 604-822-8648. Please donate. These are some awesome prizes. I'm sure me and all the other radio programmers have put a lot of effort into their show-specific prizes. I know I've put effort into mine. So please donate, and I'll also let you know, where is your money going towards? Sometimes you never know what exactly they're going to do with it. So I'll tell you now. So it is to increase the scope, expanding our training and development means more media producers, more skill development, and more opportunities to share our community's unique stories while gaining experience in some of the fastest growing media industries today. We also want to amplify uncovered voices. So we want you to help us support the uncovered voices and underrepresented, whether it's specific cultural communities, musical genres, or alternative news with training, technical support, and community partnerships. And we also want to expand our influence. increasing our signal strength, which is not on a mountain. It's actually on top of a building. And we want to increase our digital platforms, which would allow us to amplify the voices of our community and support the spectacular content created in the Lower Mainland with an independent and local perspective, which is CATR. All I can say is please, 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 it's your money, you do what you want with it. And again, all I can say is please, 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 and coerce you a little bit by flaunting off my show's specific prices, which again is a printed illustration. Let me go it harder. Let this be coherent, which is a custom playlist, a printed illustration, a t-shirt in 3 sizes, extra large, large, or medium. Pick whichever size is your size. And then finally, you get to be a guest on the show. And that is if you donate $100 to my show. So please, please, please donate. And now let us get back to why you really listen to CATR is the show's content, what I have to say, not about promoting Fun Drive and being all marketing-y. That is not a word. Be like a marketer, that's probably not a word either. Being so caught up in promotion and getting you to donate, but I believe CITR is worth it. But let's get back into it. Let's get back to what we were discussing or what I was discussing, and you were patiently listening to. What I'd like to talk about next is my firm belief that there isn't a best or greatest. I've already talked about how we kind of categorize society. Maybe that's a little bit too broad. But thinking in terms of records of like the highest and the lowest, and always paying attention to the highest scores, who got the most hits, who's hit the most home runs, who scored the most baskets, who got the most goals, or who ran the fastest in this 10 meters or 50 meters or this marathon, several kilometers. I don't know how typically long a marathon is. I imagine quite long. But I believe that there isn't such a thing as the best and greatest. And man, this show is going to be very stats-based, very statistical this time around, because there's no way to tell who's the best or the greatest. Of course, if you limit the sample to a specific area, then yes. Like, if let's take the NBA or even NHL. Either let's think of sports, because that's usually a good analogy. That usually makes sense to people because a lot of people know the sports. So let's take the best player in NHL or the NBA. Well, they're the best player in the NHL or the NBA. Not in the world, not even per se in Canada or even America or North America. How can you tell? You're only determining that this person is the best based on all the other players in the league. If you say he's the best in the league based on shots scored, and if he's a goalie, or if he's how many blocks, the most blocks in the sport, or think basketball, the most threes, the most twos, the most assists, the best at blocking and guarding, or most steals, or, you know, whatever statistical number you're using to determine that, it only applies to within the league. So it's not, and this is where people like to exaggerate, of course, like Michael Jordan is the best NBA player or the best basketball player ever. Like, no one could ever compete. And I'm not trying to discredit that statement. I'm just saying there's a lot that's not factored into that statement. There's a lot not being considered, which should be considered. I don't think so, because it's practically impossible to determine that. It is, because many countries in the world are facing inequality, and, you know, they don't have the leisure or time to do this. Or if they do, it's not, you know, it's not as widespread as the NBA. It's not being tallied. It's not being compared. It's not the same. People don't have the same opportunities within this sport. Not everyone has a fair shot, and not everyone is accounted for. And if you want to determine who's the best in the world, who's the best player, if we're not just limiting it to this one league that's primarily in North America, then you have to account for everybody. But then in order to account for everybody, I think part of it is, you know, some people have the opportunity to go for the NBA or the NHL or big sports or even the Olympics. Some people don't have that opportunity. Some people don't have that luxury because they have to deal with the basic needs. I don't want to phrase this. There's something called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I believe that's how it's phrased. Where he says that in order to start working on yourself and start attaining something, you need all these other basic needs. You need food, water, security, clothing, and all that kind of stuff. You need a support system. You need to know that you're safe and secure. And a lot of people in the world don't have these. They don't have those basic needs, and therefore they cannot pursue the things that other people can, and so everybody's not accounted for. Potential should be a factor, but it's not. And I wouldn't even bring this up if people didn't keep exaggerating things like this, like, oh, he's the best in the world, she's the best in the world, and would you look at that? I've been saying he the whole time. Where are women in this show? I'm a woman myself, and I'm social constructions, narratives, discourses. When I think sports, I think athletes. It's primarily men who are in my mind. You know, physically stronger, physically better, all that discrimination and inequalities playing in my head. And yet, we live in a society that's more, you know, it's heading towards more equality, more conversations, more narratives, more inclusions of genders and races and ethnicities and classes and ages, though I'm sure everybody has their own opinion on it. And yet here I am thinking I'm aware of all of this, and yet subconsciously I'm making all these choices to say he when I should have included some she's in this conversation. Working on your pronoun game is definitely a big part of this new narrative and conversations that are going on. But luckily for me, the next artist I'm going to play identifies as a female. This is a FemCon song. The artist's name is Alexandria Strykski. That's definitely not how you pronounce it. It's spelled Strelisky. Strykski? Not sure how to say it. But from her album, Inscape, this is the song Overturn. Thank you.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is
an advertisement for
Finding the Funny
on CITR 101.9 Mondays 6 to 6:30. We'd love for you to tune in and check us out on Twitter at Finding Funny FM. Every week, host Nico McEwen talks about new comedy topics, whether it be stand-up, sketch comedy, TV comedy, and more, always playing some of the most hilarious bits.
With your host, Nico McEwen.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nitu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, which I hope will catch on so I don't have to say that long title anymore. And today's show has been a little bit more catered to kind of my studies. As I'm a UBC student, I thought I'll bring my studies into the mix. I study sociology and human geography. I'm currently studying statistics. I'm kind of learning about, like, sampling and, you know, the three central tendencies, mean, median, mode. So I've kind of brought that into the discussion that I had with all of you today about the, is there really a best and greatest, who's not considered in the samples we're using? And I'm really just trying to say that the samples we are using to determine the best are discriminatory and are focused on those who have privilege in today's society, which is quite a heavy topic for this show. It's usually nice and light, but the show definitely started out light, talking about, you know, how we always want to know the records of the highest and greatest, the tallest, the longest, the, you know, who's superior, and superior being contextualized, I mean, associated with those who go big versus those who go home, which they really shouldn't, or maybe I'm just making that assumption on my own, but those records that are maybe the tiniest, the smallest, the slowest, wouldn't you want to see a race of the slowest? Who's the slowest in the race? I feel like that would be hilarious to watch. I feel that would just be really, I just keep picturing it in my head. I feel like that would be funny. So you would need people who found it funny to work out. Like I talked about on a previous show, when you have like a comedy, if you're doing like stand-up comedy or you're doing a show that has to do with comedy and making the audience laugh, then you need a laugh out loud audience. Because if you don't, it's just going to be a bunch of, you know, like breathing through your nose and like, oh yeah, or nodding of heads, and I wish you could see what I just did. I'm nailing the audience impression right now. And I'm still trying to keep the show a little spontaneous, because when I think of radio, I think of it as being spontaneous. Of course, you need to have a plan. Of course, I planned today's show, what I was going to talk about, what I wanted to bring up. Of course, I always do that. But I always think that there should be a level of spontaneity. There should be some spontaneous moments in radio. There should be. It shouldn't all be planned out. Because if I planned out the whole thing, it would be like, if I planned it out like word for word, it would be like a documentary. It would be like I was reading a script. I'm sure that maybe some script readings can be exciting. I don't think it'll work for this show. And also, I'd also like to mention, I don't think I have for a while, this show plays only instrumental music, and that is for a reason, because I feel like it is underrepresented, and I am trying to represent those who make instrumental music that I love, more prevalent and more represented. And also, you'll find that in my show specific prizes, my custom playlist will also be all instrumental music. I also usually spend more time talking about what I want to talk about, like social observations, comedy, instrumental music, that kind of stuff. But this time around, I wanted to focus more on Fun Drive, which you'll hear me talking more about as it is coming up February 28th. It's next week, so it's really coming up. And I'm also doing an extra show just to sponsor it even more, just to promote it even more. Fun Drive, Fun Drive, Fun Drive. So watch out for it. Donate to my show. Again, my show specific prizes are a